It's not something that's only intellectually stimulating. It's to be spiritually transforming. And the Word of God becomes spiritually transforming when we love it.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
We need to thank God for the unparalleled excellence and power of God's Word. And then he wants us to know that we need to heed it. That means we need to believe it. We need to live it if we really believe it. We need to share it with others, and we need to defend it in a fallen world. We need to be prepared to stand by God's Word and obey it as we understand it, as God reveals its message. The psalmist begins with a probing question in verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? That's the probing question. The powerful solution is by taking heed thereto, according to thy word. That's the solution expressed. And then it's expanded. He tells us, secondly, how we are to heed God's word. And that's the burden of verses 10 to 16. He says, number one, that we are to heed God's word wholeheartedly. Do you notice verse 10? With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. David, or the psalmist, does not want to wander from God's commandments, because that's where he finds God. We find him supremely in the pages of Scripture. He says, I have sought thee with my whole heart, O let me not wander from thy commandments. I wonder how many of us wander from God's commandments, or insensitive to what God is saying to us in his word. Number one, David says, this is how I want you to heed God's word. I want you to heed God's word wholeheartedly. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. That's one way in which we give heed to God's word, wholeheartedly. Now, the second way is in verse 11, affectionately. Thy word have I hid in my heart. We hide it away in our heart. Why? We have an affection for it. We love God's word. Thy word have I hid in my heart. I heed God's word affectionately. You see, the heart, among other things, is the source of affection. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Now, that's a tremendous verse, and it's a familiar verse, but familiarity never breeds contempt in Scripture. Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. We must heed God's word affectionately. Now, what do you see as you look at that verse? Do you see it there before you, Psalm 119 and verse 11? There's more than one way to analyze this verse, but this is what I see. First, I see that there is a declaration. Thy word have I hid in my heart. That's the psalmist's declaration. And then secondly, I see there is a design. There's a purpose. There's a genius behind that declaration. The declaration, thy word have I hid in my heart. The design or purpose for that, that I might not sin against thee. Now, as I look at that declaration, thy word have I hid in my heart, two things come to my mind. Number one, there's the treasure, thy word. And number two, there is the treasury, the place of deposit. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. The treasure and the treasury. The treasure is thy word. In other words, the value of God's word is incalculable. It's inscrutable. It's untraceable. In the words of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians, the third chapter, it's unsearchable, the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ, revealed in his person and revealed in his word. The value of God's word is incalculable. It cannot be computed with human devices. That's why David said in Psalm 12 and verse 6, the words of the Lord. What are the words of the Lord to you? This is what they were to David. The words of the Lord are pure words. They're like silver. Silver's of great value, but not ordinary silver. They're like silver tested in a furnace of earth, purified seven times, highly refined, extremely and excessively valuable silver. That's what the words of the Lord are like. They're of great value. They're incalculable value. So the authors of the Scripture combine to say three things about God's Word as they think about its value. You ever thought about this? They say, number one, they'd rather have Scripture than food. Now, that's almost fanaticism. They'd rather have Scripture than food. The Bible says, I have esteemed the words. These are the words of Job. Job 23 and verse 12. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I have imputed greater value to the words of God's mouth than I would impute to my necessary food. I wonder, do you love God's word more than you love food? I love food. Let me put it this way, on a more practical basis. Would you be willing on occasion to forfeit a meal a day? Just on occasion, not every day, but on occasion, would you be willing to forfeit a meal a day, maybe your lunch hour on occasion, just to study God's word? Just so you can study. Maybe you can memorize a passage of scripture on a lunch hour. You don't have to do it every day. Lunch is important. If you're diabetic or have other special medical problems, you can never do that. And we understand that. You should never do that unless you have a medical approval to do it. But all of the things being equal, would you be willing on occasion to forfeit a meal? You know, the old-fashioned concept is fasting. Wouldn't hurt us to do a little bit of that. Forfeit a meal in order that you might study God's word or memorize a passage of God's word or get intimately and deeply acquainted with a passage of God's word, maybe some special problem or need in your life, and God has a passage or a section of scripture that deals with that, and you forfeit a meal in order to get acquainted with it. That's a very practical application of what Job says. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. The authors of scripture say they would rather have scripture than food. They say, secondly, they would rather have scripture than money. I mean, they just state it right out. That's a hard dose to swallow in a materialistic society. In an affluent society, that's a hard dose to swallow. God's word meant more to the psalmist. It's right here in this 119th psalm, by the way. God's word meant more to the psalmist than all riches, verse 14. Than thousands of gold and silver, verse 72. Than fine gold, verse 127. And even more than great spoil, verse 162 of Psalm 119. And David was a warrior. He was acquainted with warfare and the spoil of warfare. To the psalmist, God's word meant more than money. Does God's word mean more than money to you? What kind of a test could I apply to know whether or not God's word means more to me than money? Let me put it this way. Would you be willing to turn down a promotion if it meant that in order to gain that promotion, you had to violate a principle of God's word? Does God's word mean more to you than money? Would you be willing to turn down a lucrative job or an exciting new opportunity if you thought that in order to engage in that lucrative job or that exciting new opportunity, somehow I would have to violate a principle of God's word? David said, God's word means more to me than money, and I'll never compromise spiritual principles in order to gain material benefit. And then the authors of scripture say that they would rather have the scriptures than sleep. They revered scripture more than food, more than money, and more than sleep. Psalm 119, 148, the Bible says, mine eyes prevent. By the way, that's the old English, prevent. It means mine eyes anticipate. You know what it means? They look forward to. Mine eyes look forward to the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Mine eyes prevent or anticipate the night watches in order that I might meditate in thy word. The psalmist said, I anxiously look forward to those moments in the deep hours of the night when I might meditate upon and study God's word. The psalmist says, while others sleep and slumber, I study. I wonder, would you be willing as a Christian to rise a little bit earlier or retire in the evening a little bit later? In order that you might have time, in order that you might make time to study God's word? How valuable is God's word to you? The treasure that I hide in my heart. And the analogy there is the idea of depositing as in a bank, in a safe place, a very valuable treasure. The treasure that I hide in my heart is God's word. How valuable, on a practical basis, is God's word to you? Notice the treasury, thy word have I hid in my heart. That word hid, here's the treasury now. Thy word have I hid in my heart. That word hid is the word which means to lay up or store up riches or treasures in a safe place. Safan is the Hebrew word. It means to lay up or store up riches or treasures in a safe place. The treasure, obviously, as we've said, is the word of God. And the treasury, the place of deposit, is the human heart. And David means, I think, that just the laying up of the word of God in the memory is not enough. It's not enough just to place it in our mind. I mean, that's a good place to start. We ought to memorize God's word. You ever think about that? I don't want to get you under conviction here. I'm not trying to be too pointed. But when was the last time you memorized a verse or a passage of God's word? You know, that doesn't end when you get out of Awana. When was the last time you memorized, made a serious effort, exercised the necessary discipline to memorize a passage of God's word? That's a good place to start. The memory is a good place to start. Laying it up in the mind is a good place to start, but that is not adequate. It must be known and prized and laid up, the psalmist says, in the heart. It must occupy the affection as well as the understanding. It's something that must be loved. God's word must be loved as well as learned. It's a spiritual discipline as well as an academic and intellectual discipline. It's not something that's only intellectually stimulating. It's to be spiritually transforming. And the Word of God becomes spiritually transforming when we love it. Not only learn it, we love it. It occupies not only our understanding, but our affection. We have not only a right method of thinking, we have a right relationship with God. That's when God's Word transforms. The heart is at least two things, and both the grammar and the theology of the Bible bears it out. The heart is two things. One, it is the center of our being. The very word lev, which is the Old Testament word for heart, means the core center of a stem or of something, of an entity, the interior of something. It's the center of our being. The heart is the center of our being. It's the fountain out of which everything flows. The heart is the total inner man. It's the master control of everything in our life. That's why Solomon said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4, verse 23. It's the center of our being, and it's the source of our problems. Did you know that? The heart, almost exclusively, the heart is the source, not only the center of our being, it's the source of our problems. You take any problem in life, anything that leads to wretchedness, and sorrow and division or hatred or animosity, and you find out the cause. You trace it back to its source, and you'll find that finally and ultimately it comes from somewhere inside the heart. Some unworthy, some selfish desire or attitude or motive which is traceable to the heart. It might be personal gain. It might be revenge. It might be pride. It might be arrogance or hatred or anger or lust, but you find it lurking in the heart. It's somewhere in the heart. Jesus said, for from within, out of the heart. Remember that? For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts and adulteries and fornications and murders and thefts and covetousness and wickedness and deceit and lasciviousness and evil eye and blasphemy and pride and foolishness. Those are the very words of Jesus. All these evils come from within and defile the man. They come out of the heart. They're the pollutants which lurk in the unregenerated and unsanctified heart. And so David said, I know that, and I'm going to hide God's word in my heart. He gives us the design of that I might not sin against thee. The declaration, thy word, that's the treasure, have I hid in my heart. That's the treasury. That's the place I deposit it. And then the design that I might not sin against thee. And as I look at that design, I think of two things in closing. One, to me, there's an element of intensity there, that I might not sin. Now, you don't see the intensity in English, but it's there in Hebrew. There's also an emphasis on deity. Do you notice? That I might not sin against whom? Against thee. You see, sin is an ugly thing. Sin is a universal contaminant. Sin is a power which has mankind in its vice grip. But the most devastating and the most awful quality, and the most ugly quality of sin, is that sin is an affront to God. It is an offense to our Creator and to our Maker. Every time I sin, every time I hurt myself or hurt somebody else with my sin, I've hurt not only myself or somebody else, I've hurt God.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.